listening to No Boundaries with Javier De Santis. Done me and you bet I felt it. I tried to be chill, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks.
Hello and welcome to our third episode. Already third episode. This episode, it's quite particular because we have a very, very nice guest. And this is like, just kindly reminded that we have in No Boundaries here in the Radio UMH. Now, this show is going to be broadcasted in English. That's something you probably you already know. But I'm going to do some little resumes in Spanish so really everybody can follow along our beautiful stories here that are going to be told. Now, let's get first back to the second episode where we met Lori and she told us her life, how her life was back in Romania. Do you remember? Now, today we have the honor to present you the story about Raisa. Now, a girl who decided to study abroad and come to our little city here in Elche. Now, hello and welcome to your new home, Raisa.
Hello.
Now, Raisa, tell me a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
Whoa, that's a very broad question, no? Okay, I'm Raisa. I'm from Romania as well as your former participant in the show, Lori. She's my friend, actually. I also live in Bucharest. Mm-hmm. Okay, I came here in September. I'll be for the whole year in Elche, studying audiovisual communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, what can I say? Enjoying the Spanish climate.
I like that. Thank you, Raisa, for being here. We will keep on with the interview, but I'm going to make a little stop just to remind the important, to use always the correct words whenever we speak with the people. What do I mean with that? Well, basically, we have to know here, above all in Spanish, we have to know how to use our language in order not to be sexist. Now, como decía antes, antes de empezar, quería comentar, antes de empezar con la entrevista de Raisa, que ahora os explicaré, bueno, que todo lo que nos ha comentado, justamente cómo se ha presentado, sí que quiero, pues antes de empezar, recordaros la importancia de utilizar siempre y siempre el lenguaje correcto antes y a la hora de expresarnos.
¿Por qué decimos los clientes si compramos hombres y mujeres? Mejor decir, la clientela.
No utilices un lenguaje sexista. Utiliza un lenguaje igualitario e inclusivo. Lately I've been losing sleep, dreaming
about the things we could be. And we are back on track. So, Raisa, tell me, how is your life back in Romania?
Well, it's a bit different from the one here because in Romania, in the last year, I was going to the university, but I was also working, so I had less time.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, not much less because since in Romania I'm studying for my master degree, I have less classes than here.
Yeah.
So basically I was going just a few hours a week, and here there are tons of hours and projects and all that, but I like it.
You like it. So how about family? Any brothers or sisters?
No, I'm the only child, and I'm not living with my parents since a long time ago. They live in a different city, and I was living in Bucharest.
So you were living in Bucharest, but yes. Your parents, where did they live?
Up in another city from Romania. It's called Pitești, and Pitești. I'm pretty sure you never heard about it.
No. Let's be honest, like, I didn't hear about... Pitești.
It's 100 kilometers from Bucharest, so it's not really far, but I'm not going home that often.
Oh, so I've never been to... How was it again?
Pitești. You've been to Bucharest?
Yes, I've been to Bucharest.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I know I've been to Pitești, but the thing is, if you were asked to describe Pitești, how would you start? I mean, how would it be?
Well, technically it's a medium-sized city.
Mm-hmm. Bigger than Elche or?
More or less the
more
same size.
Or less the same. Mm-hmm.
But actually, I never liked the city.
You never liked the city?
No. I wasn't born there. I was born in a different place and then moved to that city.
Okay, tell me, where were you born then?
Oh, you haven't heard of... That's a small city.
Okay,
it's
tell
called
me.
Kumpulung.
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 Yeah, that's right.
Where is Kumpulung?
It's near the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
In the... Not exactly in the center, more a bit in the south,
uh-huh.
but near the mountains. And it's a very small city, but it's really nice. And that one I really love.
So you like that one?
Yeah,
so
I like that one.
You were born there, but you didn't stay there.
I stayed until I was 7.
Uh-huh.
But my grandparents remained there. So every summer holiday and most of the weekends I was going there. And that's the place I feel at home.
Okay.
To Pitești, I have like no relation. I'm like, okay, I have to go there again.
Oh, but to the place where you were born, yes.
Yes.
That's curious.
Yeah. Because I lived a lot more in Pitești than
yeah,
in Kumpulung, but I feel much more related to that place. I don't know why.
So if there will be a place where you have to say, that's my home, where would it be?
It will be Kumpulung.
So not Bucharest as well?
Bucharest, I see it as a place of transit. I don't see myself living forever there. I love Bucharest,
uh-huh.
and I loved the time I spent there, but I don't think I would like to live there for my whole life.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, when you were there in university,
mm-hmm.
in Bucharest, how did you go to university? I mean, how was it? Do you go by car, by train?
Usually using the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the fastest way to move around Bucharest. If you have like classes from morning or at 6 o'clock when everybody gets out from work,
mm-hmm.
it's basically horrible to be stuck in traffic. So I rather use the subway.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So how was the university there?
Can you be a bit more specific?
What did you study there?
I'm studying communication and advertising. The master is on communication and advertising, and the program is in English.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean there, back in your university. I mean, what did you study there? Oh, that's what you're telling me right now?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought the degree you did as well there?
The degree was psychology.
Okay,
and
see.
I did it in a different University of Bucharest.
Okay, so you did psychology in the University of Bucharest?
Yes.
And then you did the master degrees in another university, but still in Bucharest, right?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. So let's go first with your degree.
Okay.
How come that you do such a degree and then you change completely to another thing that doesn't really fit to the...
I don't consider it a complete change because it's like psychology and the master is in communication and
mm-hmm.
And advertising. And even during my bachelor degree in psychology, we had a lot of classes about communication and... like how you influence people and all that, which
okay.
is the basis of advertising,
it
I suppose.
It is the basis
yeah.
of advertising. So that was a connection between both.
Yeah, I see a connection between them.
You see a connection.
Yeah.
No, if you see a connection, that's good enough.
Amazing.
Now, then you took the master, and you came here.
Yes.
Are you studying exactly the same thing here that you studied back in the university in Bucharest?
No.
Okay.
Not even close.
Not even close. What are the differences?
I have chosen completely different subjects from
mm-hmm.
the one I was supposed to do in my second year of master. And at first I wanted to choose basically the same things I was supposed to do. And then I saw that here are many other options, which I don't have there. And my master, and in general in Romania, the universities are much more theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw here that we have subjects like, I don't know, the ones from audiovisual communication,
yeah, I know what you mean.
You can actually do something, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'll take advantage of this, and I will subscribe to these classes, because what I'm supposed to learn in my second master is like, I can read a book anytime. It's not like I need to go to class and someone to tell me what's already written in the book.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, are you happy with the way that the teachers here in Elche give their classes? That's a difficult question. Nobody's going to listen to that.
Mostly, yes. Mostly.
Okay. What does it mean, mostly, yes?
I mean, I feel like they are closer to the students than the teachers in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, I'm Spanish, it's not my language and all that, I feel I can, if I have a question or something, I can talk to them, and they encourage you to speak with them on their name, not using all these formalities that creates distance.
So you like that?
Okay. Yeah. In Romania, you're all the time, when you're talking to the teachers, you're using that polite,
dear Mr. Professor.
Yeah, dear Mr. Professor. Okay. And I think that's a stupid thing to do, because it creates a distance between students and the teachers that's not encouraging the learning process.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So I'm going to do a little resume, then we'll take a break, and then I want to see the difference and the cultures between really what Romania is and what Spain is and what you lived when you came here to Erasmus.
Okay.
Básicamente, lo que quiero comentar es hacer un pequeño resumen. Ya sabéis que, bueno, en este programa siempre suelo hacer pequeños resúmenes después de secciones para comentarlos lo que nos acaban de decir. Bueno, básicamente, pues Raiza es una chica de Rumanía que, bueno, vivía antes en Bucarest, ahora ha venido a Elche a estudiar aquí. Sí que ha notado muchas diferencias. Por ejemplo, nos ha estado comentando las diferencias que ha visto en la universidad, que allí es quizá ha tenido incluso, decía que tenía menos clases que aquí, que tenía menos proyectos y que a los profesores todavía se les tenía que importar esa formalidad, que aquí en España muchas veces no hemos tenido. Y en algunos momentos sí que ha habido una polémica de debería tratarse al profesor como señor profesor y como usted, o debería seguir tuteándose al profesor. Para el alumno, como bien se puede entender y como bien ha comentado Raiza, es mucho más cómodo poder decir, oye, mira, tengo este problema, y quitarse todas esas formalidades para dar un acercamiento un poquito más a la materia, hacia el profesor, y estar más en un ambiente relajado. Pero es verdad que a ciertos profesores sí que les molesta que no se les trate con el título y con el cierto respeto que se supone que se merecen, ¿no? Aparte de ese, nos está comentado que ha vivido en total en tres ciudades distintas. Nació en una ciudad que me va ahora a recordar el nombre, que no me acordaba.
Kumpulung.
Nació en Kumpulung, que dice que es una ciudad preciosa, un poquito más o menos al sur de Rumanía, en las montañas, donde allí nació. Luego, pues se fue a la otra ciudad que era
Pitești,
que curiosamente es donde más ha vivido, pero donde menos se siente en casa. Y luego, pues sí que salió de casa de sus padres y vivió pues en Bucarest, donde primero hizo el grado y luego ha hecho un máster y ahora pues ha continuado básicamente su año aquí. ¿Se podría comentar que es, esto se lo voy a preguntar en español y a ver si me responde en español, se podría comentar que lo que estás haciendo aquí se considera un Erasmus? Porque realmente no lo es.
¿Cómo que no lo es?
En el sentido, porque el Erasmus sí que se aplica a lo que viene siendo el grado. Si es de máster, ¿se sigue llamando Erasmus?
Sí, se sigue llamando Erasmus.
O sea,
y ahora
tú sigues en la misma comunidad, ¿no?
Sí.
Tú sigues en comunidad Erasmus.
Sí.
Vale,
y lo que yo no sabía y me enteré ahora es que ahora puedes hacer Erasmus también en el grado y después otro en el máster. Antes podías ir con Erasmus solo una vez, uh-huh, y ahora puedes ir dos veces. Por ejemplo, tenemos un chico aquí en Elche que hizo su Erasmus de grado en Lisboa.
Sí.
Y ahora es en su segundo Erasmus de máster aquí.
¿Dos años de Erasmus?
Sí, dos años de Erasmus.
Eso está muy bien. Eso está
sí, claro.
Muy bien. Eso está muy, muy bien. Pues nada, hacemos una pequeña pausa y luego pues volvemos con más. Hasta ahora.
Para empezar bien el día, no olvides desayunar con fuerza. Incluye en tu desayuno un lácteo, pan o cereales sin azúcar y una pieza de fruta.
Es un consejo del programa de Radio UMH, La Ciencia del Cuerpo Humano.
And we are back with Raiza. Now, what do you miss about your life back in Romania?
I think I mostly miss my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like it here and I met a lot of new people, but, you know, I only know them from 3 months.
Yeah.
And my friends back home are friends that I have for years and year, and you can imagine it's a bit of different relationship.
Obviously, yeah.
So the most I can say I miss my friends.
You miss your friends.
Yep.
So you decided to spend your Erasmus year here in Elche. Now, how is that? Why Elche? That's the question.
Okay, so basically I knew I wanted to come to Spain. Don't ask me why. I just knew I wanted to come to Spain.
Okay.
I've never visited Spain before I came with my Erasmus.
So you never came to Spain before?
No.
But you were very, very sure you wanted to be in Spain?
Yes.
Wow. Why?
I don't know. I had a thing for Spain.
Okay, you had a thing for Spain. Okay, so why Elche now? From Spain. Okay. Spain is big.
And knowing that I wanted to come in Spain, I looked at all the universities we had agreement with that were from Spain. And there were three universities.
Okay, tell me.
In Coruña, in Girona, Yaki.
Okay.
I googled a bit about the universities. Firstly, I wanted to go to the one from Girona, but I didn't really wanted to speak Catalan.
Okay, so because of the Catalan, you decided not to do Girona.
Yes, so
that's
important. I excluded Girona. Yeah, because I knew that even though basically I was supposed to be able to have the classes in Spanish and speak in Spanish, I knew from the girls that went with Erasmus last year that this doesn't happen and that everything is in Catalan.
Wow.
So I said, okay, I don't think I want to do that.
We say that as well. We a lot. We say that if you go to study to Catalonia, you have to speak Catalan. But then they say that that's not true. They speak Spanish. But now you're giving me... So in Erasmus year in Catalonia, they do have to speak in Catalan.
Yeah, that's what they told me, the girls that were there last year.
Okay, so that's why you decided that, yeah?
Actually, I checked on Google stuff about university, and apparently it was the best university from the three of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
It ranked on the fifth place between the public universities in Spain. So I thought that's supposed to be good.
Mean something.
And of course, the weather.
Of course, the weather.
Yeah.
Of course, the weather. Do you feel yourself integrated here?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's good. Wow. Okay. What would you like to change? If you had the opportunity to change something here, what would you like to change?
Here in Elche?
Here in Elche. I mean, in the university. If you said, okay, if no, let's rephrase the question. If you could take something from your university in Romania and take it back here, apart from your friends, what would it be?
Related to the university.
Yep.
Actually, it's also related with the people. In Romania, I had more connection with my colleagues from university.
Yeah.
For example, I started my master's degree last year and I didn't know anyone. But somehow, in the first week, or if not in the first, in the second week, we were already going out for beer and knowing each other and all that. Here, this didn't really happen to me. I didn't feel that connected to the colleagues in the university. So everybody is nice and treating me okay, but I didn't feel like, oh, okay, let's go out and have fun and get to know each other better.
Okay, I understand what you mean. Yeah, I totally understand. Now, what are the main differences between living in Romania and living in Spain, culturally, I mean?
Well, a thing that I really hate in Spain is that you're closing everything between 2 and 5. What's that?
Siesta time.
Siesta, that for me, it's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible concept.
Horrible concept. I mean, what is better than a good, nice 3 hours siesta?
Yeah, I know, but like an egoistic point of view, because I don't mind the idea of siesta, but I want things to be open so I can buy my...
That's true.
Thing is, I'm not used to that, and I forget all the time, and I don't know how it happens, but every time when I need to buy something, it's exactly between those hours. And I'm like, no, I have to wait 2 more hours to eat or something like that.
Wow. So the problem is the siesta time. I thought that was the good part about Spain.
No, I hate that.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay. Let's rephrase this. So apart from the siesta that you don't like it.
Cultural differences. I don't know what to say.
So what was your first and most biggest impact, let's say like that, when you arrived to Spain?
I think people are more relaxed here.
So we take things more...
Yeah. Romanian people tend to stress over everything. Oh. Everything is a drama. Everything is a huge problem.
Okay, I understand that. So everything is... I get it. So in here, we are more relaxed to everything.
Yes. We don't take things easier. That was my impression, at least.
And now the question is that better or is that worse?
I think it's a lot better.
A lot better?
Yeah, because somehow, even if you don't want to be like this, they kind of influence you to have the same behavior.
Uh-huh.
So when I came here, at least it was, oh, why aren't you stressing about everything?
Stress out.
Yeah, you're too chill.
Okay,
and they're like, oh no, but it's a lot better like this. I know you live longer and all that.
Okay. Yeah, we live longer. Come on, we live longer. Okay, so I'm going to do a little resume. We do a little break and then we come back with a very interesting subject. I don't want to tell you yet what it's going to be. Bueno, pues básicamente lo que os quería comentar es hacer ese pequeño resumen que bien decía al principio del programa que hago en todos los programas. Lo que nos ha comentado Raisa ahora básicamente ha sido esas diferencias culturales que ha tenido justamente y esos impactos culturales que ha tenido al llegar aquí, ¿no? Entonces, básicamente, pues nos ha comentado, curiosamente también, que la siesta ha sido un error, en ese sentido que lo ve como un punto negativo. ¿Por qué? Porque ella quiere salir a comprar y quiere comer justo a las horas en las que nosotros decidimos que es el momento perfecto para hacer una siestecita y para cerrar. Y como cerramos de 2 a 5, pues Raisa ya no puede comprar absolutamente nada. Y eso, obviamente, pues le causa muchísimos problemas. Curioso, porque justamente todas las personas que han venido aquí me han comentado que la siesta es lo mejor. Pues para Raisa es un punto completamente negativo. Que dice que algo positivo, porque también le he preguntado a ver qué impacto cultural ha podido tener, y es que nos tomamos las cosas aquí con mucha calma. Y eso tú dirás, Javi, eso está mejor. Sí, pero luego ha dicho que es que hay momentos donde hay que estresarse también un poquito y que allí en Rumanía, por ejemplo, la gente se estresa muchísimo más y hace mucho drama y que nosotros somos muy, muy, muy relajados. Una cuña y volvemos con un tema bastante, bastante, bastante actual, el tema de la cumbre que se hizo la semana, bueno, que terminó la semana pasada sobre el calentamiento global, donde estuvieron ahí pues la mayoría de los líderes de Estado de muchísimos países, también de los de G20, y le vamos a preguntar un poquito a Raisa qué opina del tema.
¿Sabías que...?
Si Google encuentra algo al buscar tu dirección de correo electrónico, cualquiera puede obtenerla para enviarte basura.
So we are back with Raisa. She's going to tell us a little bit about a very interesting subject. I said it before in Spanish, now I'm going to say it in English for you guys. So we're going to speak about climate change. Now, as you all know, basically, last week there was a very important meeting from one of the most, biggest leaders here in the world, and they had to take decision about climate change. It wasn't really, it was making interference with the Kyoto agreement, but they decided that it doesn't work, nobody really listens to it, countries really don't get along with that, they don't comply, so now they are gathered around in Paris and they decided to do something about it. Now, Raisa, how important do you think we have to address in a balance, okay, as a national and international problem, the thing about climate change?
Well, I'm kind of happy you chose this subject because it's a thing that I really care about.
Okay.
And I think it's a very serious problem, actually.
Okay.
I think we should start to do more in connection to that and quicker and related to the conference that happened in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm very disappointed of what happened there because from what I've read, nothing happened there.
Nothing happened. So do you think it was a show-off? We call a show-off here in Spain, we call postureo. Do you think it was postureo?
Postureo.
So you think that they just gathered around and they said, hey, let's just make some pictures that we are doing something but don't really do anything. But they did sign a document.
Yeah, promising they'll do their best. What's that?
Okay, that's true. There were several subjects in the climate change. One of them were the thing about pollution. The other were about the rising seas.
Mm-hmm. Connected to the... part of the pollution.
Obviously, in climate change, everything is connected. And, but they talk also about animals. And they talk about animal life, above all in the North Pole, and that they can't really have the animal life, etc., etc., and so on, so on. So I'm going to make little questions to every single subject. Maybe you've seen that they come to red alert in Beijing, in China,
yes,
about
I
pollution
saw that.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And then I think they decided to do something about it. Now, here in Spain, they are taking some measures. In Madrid, for instance,
okay. You
can't park your car if there's more than X pollution one day or something like that. Do you think that's a good way to deal with pollution, or it should be even more stricter than that?
I think that this small decisions mm-hmm. are a good thing to do,
yep.
But I don't think they will solve the problem.
Okay.
I think there should be more radical policies at a global level.
Global level, yeah.
And I don't know, USA and China to agree to something because they're the biggest problem, in my opinion. For USA, I can see, from what I know, the biggest source of pollution in the United States are the cars, because they have so many cars with those big engines and all that.
That's so true.
And that could be solved somehow in the reason of electric cars, mm-hmm. which I hope will happen in the near future.
So electric cars solution?
Yeah, I consider electric car solution.
Electric car solution.
But for China, where the problem is a lot worse, and because they rely a lot on coal, mm-hmm. which pollutes the most from the... China is a really big problem, and I have no idea how they could solve that, but they should really do something, because what's happening there, it's horrible. Like, people wearing the masks on
uh-huh,
their faces
yeah.
to go outside, and... Did you see that picture where they had a big screen in a square in order to see the sun, because you couldn't see
it
anymore?
You couldn't see it anymore,
yeah.
I've seen that picture. Yeah, there was even an artist that did something, yeah. and he built a brick from just going around with something and taking air. It is amazing.
Yeah, I saw that too.
You saw that too. Básicamente lo que nos ha comentado Raisa, pues haciendo alusión al tema del cambio climático, nos ha comentado que ella piensa, y ha aprendido una palabra también, el tema del postureo, ella piensa que todo esto que se ha comentado de que han ido los líderes allí, que se han juntado, que era simplemente para hacer la foto y para firmar un documento que realmente lo único que hace es vamos a hacer promesas, pero no vamos a hacer mucho más. Entonces, una de las soluciones podría ser el tema de coches eléctricos, nos lo ha comentado Raisa, que es una buena solución, y que esas soluciones pequeñas en las ciudades, como por ejemplo hemos visto aquí que se ha hecho en Madrid, ¿no? Que si llega a algún punto, un punto de polución demasiado alto, pues no se pueden aparcar en las calles, y este tipo de pequeñas soluciones que parecen no importar, pero que Raisa nos ha comentado que son esas pequeñas soluciones que es, entre todos haciéndolos en cada ciudad, al final sí que se puede hacer una diferencia. Pero que sigue siendo lo más importante, que hay dos países muy grandes que tienen que tomar una decisión, que es el caso de Estados Unidos con la cantidad de coches que tiene, que básicamente creo que la media hacía de 3,1 coches o 2,9 coches por lo que viene siendo familia, lo cual es una barbaridad, pero también con China, que todavía sigue teniendo todas esas fábricas de carbón y que tendrían que pasar a coches eléctricos, etcétera, etcétera, etcétera. Muy interesante el tema, las soluciones son evidentes, pero no se toman esas decisiones y de momento pues las cosas van a seguir así porque, como bien comentaba Raisa, posiblemente sea todo postureo. Raisa, thank you very, very, very much for being here and giving your opinion about everything and telling us a little bit about you and about your life. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me here, Javier.
If you could say something for your Reminisce companions, do you think they should come here to Erasmus?
Definitely, yes.
Definitely, yes. Thank
you. People come to Spain to Erasmus.
People come to Spain for Erasmus.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. She said it. Básicamente eso es lo que nos acaba de comentar. Ha hecho una pequeña alusión y le dice a sus compañeros rumanos que aquí en España se vive bien, que se puede venir de Erasmus y que Elche es una ciudad fantástica, que eso y nosotros, entre tú y yo, ya lo sabíamos, pero Raisa pues lo que ha hecho es darnos pues ese toquecito, decirnos, hey, que aquí se vive mucho. Muchísimas gracias, Raisa, por estar aquí. Muchísimas gracias a todos por escuchar y nos veremos en el siguiente programa, donde pues hablaremos con más gente, como siempre, para saber más sobre las vidas fuera, porque lo que queremos nosotros es que no haya fronteras, no boundaries.